CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, we're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are. And so, once again, we just want to encourage you to give us a call, 8888-ASK-CSN. If you got a question about the Bible, been reading the Bible on your own, come across something you don't understand, maybe someone's asked you a difficult question, well, we're here for you to help you. And so just give us a call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We got some lines open if you want to call right now. Joining me today, special guest, weekend speaker here on CSN with Scott Parker. And we just appreciate you, Scott, being on CSN and your church there in Festus, Missouri, just outside St. Mm-hmm. Louis, reminding everybody a church alive is worth the drive. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Mike. It's great to be with you, as always. Thank you so much for allowing us to share our teachings from our pulpit on CSN. It's always a blessing, and it's always a blessing to hear from all the listeners that that write us and call. And it's always a blessing to join you here on To Every Man an Answer, answering questions. So thank you, Mike, for this platform that you make available to us out here to be able to share the gospel and get the word of God out.
Yeah, always a blessing to have you with us. And what's going on right now at your fellowship there in Festus, Missouri, right by Crystal City? Unbelievable.
Yes, we are so close to Crystal City.
There's no place like home.
Exactly. You know what? We're so close to Crystal City. It's interesting here. They call it the Twin Cities, Festus and Crystal City, because you'll be driving through Festus and all of a sudden you'll see a city limit sign that says Crystal City. Then you drive another mile and you'll see another city limit sign that says Festus. It just goes on and on like that. So we're called the Twin Cities, but I try not to use that too much because then people think we're in Minnesota, think we're in Minneapolis. But anyway, yeah, it's a blessing to be here. We're just south of St. Louis by about a half hour from downtown. And so anyway, great things are going on at our church, Mike. You know, we're having two services now. We have since September, so many new people coming and joining the church and becoming part of the church. And so it's a blessing. Of course, we're gearing up for Christmas. I've been teaching since Thanksgiving. I've been teaching on Luke chapters 1 and 2 and the first Christmas according to Luke there. And that's been such a blessing. You know, it's interesting because not only is resurrection of Jesus and, you know, that account in the Gospels is some of my favorites to preach. But boy, Christmas, I enjoy teaching on the first Christmas and how God became a man to come and to rescue us from our sin. It's an exciting message to share. And it's a great message that, you know, during this time of year, a lot of people who either won't go to church or don't want to hear the gospel seem to be a little more open to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, you know, I don't understand a lot of times when Christians get all bent out of shape about Christmas. Now, I can understand when it comes to the commercialization of it and all that. But, you know, Mike, the other day, my wife and I were somewhere away, and we were in a public place. And all these people were in there. And, you know, there's people in there that we're not saved. We're in a public store. But the music that was being played was glorifying Jesus so much.
I know, and I
love that. I love
I do too.
Being in a public place that's secular and hearing the message of the incarnation being blasted out of these speakers. And so it's exciting. So we're gearing up, though, for our Christmas Eve service. So, you know, that'll be coming up on next Wednesday. So at 5 o'clock, if anybody here in the St. Louis area is listening and you want to come and join us, we'll be at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And of course, we have service at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. So we'd love for people to join us. And Mike, I did actually just recently here have some wonderful news. So Turning Point USA, our chapter that's here in St. Louis, reached out to me again. I had the blessing of being able to speak at their event they had for Charlie Kirk's memorial. And I gave the gospel at that program. And then they just reached out to me and asked me next month, this will be January 7th, to come to our state capitol in Jefferson City, Missouri, here in Missouri, and to preach in the rotunda of the state capitol, and I'll be doing that next month at the beginning of the month, and they want me to share on the right to life. And so it's called the Stand in the Gap event that's going to be happening at our state capitol in Jefferson City, Missouri. And so I'm one of the pastors here in the state that gave a call to said, hey, come and share. And so that's the topic I have. And so it's a blessing. It's the doors the Lord's been opening with Turning Point USA since Charlie's assassination, just to be able to share the word of God with people. And it's exciting. So.
Amen. Amen. It's always a blessing, and look forward to that. So again, if you're in the southern area there, to the south of St. Louis, hey, there's a church for you. I know Scott would love to see you.
Yes.
8888. Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We have Chuck on the line, Desert, Palm Desert, California, out by Palm Springs. Hi, and welcome.
Good afternoon.
How may we help?
A couple few weeks ago, there was a discussion that I caught just the tail end of that was real important. You were having a discussion on a proposed California law that would have to do with government abduction of children where they deemed it necessary to protect the child from parents who did not want them to learn, you know, the way we want them to learn.
Sure.
And it was a big, thorough discussion. I am calling to ask if you would discuss that again, and possibly there may be many more like myself who aren't aware of it and familiar, and that maybe it would be worth a discussion again down the road as time goes on.
Sure. And California's got a lot of very, very bad laws. Passed and signed by Governor Newsom, and God help us if these would ever become the laws of our land. Because, again, there was Bill 495 that was proposed and signed by Governor Newsom, and this is what basically it says, that anybody having an affidavit can take your kid without your knowledge as a parent. So, in other words, if somebody shows up at a school and they have an affidavit that they maybe even made themselves, and say, I'm here to pick up such and such child, John Smith. I'm here to pick him up. Here's the affidavit. Give me permission. They release the child to them without your knowledge. Another law in California is that if you are in another state and there is a minor that wants to begin transgender surgery, that they can be legally abducted, taken to California, and they will be protected in California from their parents in another state. So this is actually, in a way, trafficking of children, which is completely legal now in the state of California. Jack Hibbs had a lot to say about this from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And you might want to go on that. If you go to his website, you'll find a lot more information. Every parent in California and those close by California, you need to be aware of the dangers that are lurking in this so-called, in fact, somebody said they rewrote the Beach Boys song, wish we all could leave California now. You know, so, I mean, it's kind of bad. That this is actually happening at this level. And for some reason, parents' rights are obliterated in the state of California. Now, many of you don't know, maybe you're not aware of this. And that's, I believe, their hope, that they will keep the parents in the dark until actually their children are gone. But again, a child legally can be abducted from another state who wants transgender surgery, carried into the state of California, and be completely protected by the state of California against their parents in another state. This is fact, friends. This is not made up. This is not proposal doctrine or laws. These are on the books. And 495 that was just signed about a month ago, signing into law now, that anybody can go to any place, playground or whatever, football game, your kids are out there playing on the field, somebody drives up, I have an affidavit here to pick up a little Johnny Smith. Oh, here you go. Your kid's gone. No, it completely legal. Why anybody in their right mind would sign this is absolutely insane. And yet Governor Newsom signed it. It's absolutely astounding how bad these laws are. And yes, a good day, really a good day, Chuck, would be to call on Mondays. Usually I have Brad Dacus with me, attorney at law, and he does a very, very good job on this. If you go to pji.org, they have a way to opt out from this, some of these laws, where you give the school, as an example, a letter that says, no one can pick up my child except me. And there's ways around it. Unfortunately, this does not cover a playground. It does not cover like after school sports, where perhaps the PE teacher does not know about the documents that the parents have signed with the principal and things like this. So there's a lot of really bad loopholes in this. And again, any minor is open game right now. So something you have to think about. And Chuck, I hope that answers it for you.
It does. And I'm sorry to say I did not know that it had been signed.
Yes.
It's as if rats took this through a sewer so quietly that no one up on the top knew that this was happening.
Oh, they're clever. They're absolutely, it's all deceit. And again, when we look at all the stuff going on in these higher levels of government, whether Minnesota, California, you know, look at your fires down there that wiped out, you know, the Newhall area and all those places out there. So from what I understand, not one house has been rebuilt. All this free federal money pouring into the state, all missing. Things that make you go, it's tragic. And we just understand that these are the days that we live in. We have to understand what this is. And again, California is controlled by a supermajority, a Democrat supermajority. And why anybody in their right mind would sign something like this, I have to even question their mental capabilities. I don't know if stacking bricks on top of each other would be a challenge mentally to them, but it is serious when you would sign something that would just allow somebody to drop an affidavit and take your child without your knowledge. That's Bill 495 in California. Again, if you go to Jack Hibbs' website, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, he's got an update on this as well. And of course, you can go to pji.org. That's where Brad Dacus is our attorney from, and has a full expose on it as well. But every person in California needs to be aware of that law, and then the transgender abduction laws that California will protect this child from being returned to their parents to other states. This is real, friends. This is not made up. This is, well, that's your interpretation. No, it's not. It's exactly what they wrote it for. And this is their target, to undermine the American family. Doing a fantastic job of it, I got to say. Chuck, I hope that helps.
It helps. Thank you for the big discussion, and I will go to Jack Hibbs' site for more information. God bless you.
Yeah, Scott, before you go, Scott, do you have any other input on that?
Well, sure. This is really interesting because, listen, Joe Biden wasn't kidding whenever he made that statement and said that our children were their children. I mean, he made that statement.
The government, said, hey, these kids in America, your children are the government's children, not yours.
Exactly. You know, and when you look back at communism and socialism, especially in China and places like that, this was part of their strategy of what they did. Is there they actually got children to turn against their parents and to turn their parents in for doing things. I mean, that was all part of it. This divide and conquer thing. You know, they know exactly what they're doing. They know how to divide the country so that they can get what they want. And that's what has been happening for so many years in our nation now. It's still happening. And in fact, it's interesting because this event I'm going to be speaking at next month at our own state capitol, that is actually the theme of the whole thing, is protecting children. And so, like I said, I'm going to be speaking on right to life, but then there's going to be so many other issues about protecting our children that are going to come up because, you know, even though we're far away from California, hey, whatever happens out there eventually makes its way here. And, you know, and as far as our state, you know, I mean, we're a red state, but, you know, we have areas like St. Louis City and Kansas City that's very Democrat. And so, you know, here in our state, we do everything we can to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen. But that's what they're doing. They're coming after the kids. And we're seeing that. And again, you know, Biden told us this is the way they look at it. And this is what they're going to do. And not only that, but, you know, Mike, too, one of the things that that Newsom is doing is he's coming hard still. I mean, almost 6 years later, 5 years later, he is right now still coming hard at Pastor Mike McClure and Calvary Chapel in San Jose to try to hit them for almost $2 million worth of fines over COVID. He's doing that personally, you know, making sure. And he's and literally trying to steal the tithes and offerings from their church to pay these fines. I mean, like you said, Mike, it's just there's something wrong in these people's heads. And really it's in their hearts, you know, that's what's wrong with their heads is their hearts are wrong. And, they don't want the nation, that our forefathers gave us. They want something totally different. And, you know, we got to do everything we can to protect it. So,
yeah, it's really tragic and we have to be aware of it. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Mike, you guys talk every once in a while about political things here. Well, let me tell you, it's all the way through the Bible. You know, if you study the Bible, look at its entirety, you'll find you had Elijah standing up to Ahab and Jezebel for the wickedness that they were doing to the people of Israel. You look at Moses standing up to Pharaoh in his enslavement of the Israeli people. You look at John the Baptist condemning Herod for having his father for having his brother's wife. When people say, well, I don't see where Christians mix politics, I go, what Bible are you reading? Because it's everywhere in the Bible where people who love God would stand up for things that were wrong. Yeah, and I believe today we have to do the same thing. Now, is that our only focus? No. Was that the Bible's only focus? No. But it includes that. Now, I know for a lot of churches and a lot of ministers, the only thing they read about in the Bible is giving money and tithes and offerings. But the Bible is so much bigger than that. And so we have to look at what the entirety of God's word says. And you know, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, not on how a transistor works or how a satellite works, but how God's word says we are to live. And that we're to be well-rounded people, that we, because we're equipped with his word, we know what truth is, and we can bring that truth into darkened corners, oftentimes in the political world and in daily life. So again, I believe this is why it's important that we realize that Christians, people who love God in the Old Testament, were always involved some way within government politics. And yet, cleverly, through the indoctrination, through the seminaries, that's all been scrubbed away. Well, you shouldn't be talking about political things. I don't want to talk about political things, but when I see the legalization of abducting children, now you got to say something. I'm sorry. We all have to do that. Hope that helps, Chuck. Again, check that out. Once again, for everybody that's writing this down, Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. You can go there for an update, as well as pji.org, and you have there's an opt-out form that you can use it for schools, but again, that will not protect your children on playgrounds and things like this, so you have to be aware of that. Chuck, I hope that helps. Stay in line. I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow, and Happy New Year to you. Okay,
Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas to you. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program. Tiffany on the line, San Jose, California.
Hi, I was wondering, why do we celebrate Christmas if it's not in the Bible, and why specifically on the 25th of December?
Well, it was a carryover from when Constantine Christianized the Roman world, and actually it was a day of celebration that they would have. The sun's rays were waning a bit, and so in order to make the sun come back and shine for another year, they'd have winter solstice, and they'd throw a party for the sun. And so he just Christianized it and declared that to be Jesus' birthday. However, we most likely Jesus wasn't born on 25th of December. Now there's, what's the odds? 1 in 366. Okay. So we got that, at least that odd going for us. But the thing is that it's a day that the world recognizes that the Savior has come. And that's why I believe every Christian everywhere needs to take full advantage of it. And Scott, as you said in the first part of the program, going into a store, hearing songs over the music in the background, glory to the newborn King, I'm going, wow, everybody in the store is getting to hear about Jesus. This is great. And so, you know, I've had people call up and say, well, how dare you as a Christian celebrate Christmas? I go, well, gee, you know, it's funny. You're saying the same exact things as the witches' coven. You're saying the exact same thing as the ACLU saying. Why are you on the wrong side? You know, the proverb says you're kind of known by the company you keep. And so if people come down on the wrong side, I'm just saying it's a day the world recognizes Christ was born. Now, very quickly, we also know at this particular time of the year is what's called the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah. And we know Jesus, in fact, did go to that. We find this in John chapter 10, verse 22. Now, when it was the Feast of Dedication, and this is the Festival of Lights that oftentimes people think. And notice it says here, and this is written in the book of John, verse 22, chapter 10. Now, when the Feast of Dedication was in Jerusalem, and it was winter. So I think it's interesting that there was a holiday in December that the Jewish people would honor. It was called the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah. And this was a time in which even Jesus himself went into the temple. But really, when we look at it in general, it's a day that the world recognizes that Christ has come. You know, it's funny, very quickly, Scott, that, you know, the Bible says, people have often said this, well, you know, the gospel will be preached in the whole world and the end will come. I believe that actually comes when the angels preach the gospel and tell people of the world during tribulation not to take the mark of the beast. But you know what's really weird? They say, well, only about 40% of the world has heard of the name of Christ. But about 95% of the world knows about Christmas. Isn't that amazing? Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, it's an amazing thing because if people understand the true meaning of Christmas and the whole point of it, it is Christ. That is the whole point. Even in the word Christmas, you have Christ at the beginning, you know, the Christ Mass, you know, but it's very interesting. And Mike, you know, you made a great point there speaking about Hanukkah and Jesus, you know, celebrating that feast, because again, you know, Hanukkah is not, it's not one of the seven feasts that the Lord gave to Israel to observe every year. And it, though it is prophesied, the events that led to Hanukkah is prophesied in the book of Daniel. But here's the other thing, in the Old Testament, the birth of Jesus was also prophesied in many, many cases, in many different ways. And, so again, it's a great point and a great apologetic is the fact that if Jesus, you know, celebrated Hanukkah, celebrated a holiday by going to the temple, and celebrating a holiday that wasn't biblical, so to speak, and it wasn't one of the feasts that the Lord commanded the Jews to follow and to celebrate, then, you know, this is telling us something here. It's telling us that when it comes to good things that God has done, we can celebrate them. We don't need a Bible verse to tell us to remember and to celebrate the birth of Jesus, no more than we need a Bible verse to tell us to do the same thing, you know, at what we would call Easter time, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. You know, and we do celebrate the resurrection of Jesus really every Sunday. That's why we have church on Sunday, is to remember the resurrection. But again, you know, any good thing that God has done for us, it is always appropriate. We don't need a chapter and verse to celebrate those things or to recognize those things, because we're to testify of all the good things that God has done for us. And, you know, and I know people get really deep into the woods, you know, on the, you know, trying to prove the pagan origins of Christmas and all this sort of thing. But again, you know, the point is what are we actually celebrating? You know, it's interesting because a lot of people will go to Jeremiah and they'll try to talk about how Jeremiah was condemning the putting up of a Christmas tree in your house and decking it and all of this. Well, number one, there was no Christmas back then. That's not what Jeremiah was talking about. He was talking about idol worship. But people, you know, will do things like that. But you know what, Mike? Listen, we can take the Christmas tree, we can teach our children, and we can preach the gospel to people with a Christmas tree because of all the symbolism that is in it.
The tree of life.
To Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And you know, something else I think is really important here. And when you ask the question, Tiffany, I think very good question. One of the things that we find in Luke 2, it says, verse 17. Now, this is after the angels appeared in heaven. They were praising God. They went to check out the babe in the manger. When they found the babe in the manger, they were so touched. And verse 17 says, and now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. So if the shepherds felt it was not wrong to proclaim the birth of Christ, why should we? We should proclaim the birth of Christ. And so when somebody says, well, Christmas is not in the Bible, well, it really is. And it is that the shepherds went out proclaiming that the King had come, the Christ, the Savior had come. Behold to you in this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I love that because that's what the world needs, is a Savior. You know, the world doesn't need a life coach. It doesn't need motivational speaking. It needs a Savior. And so, Tiffany, I hope that answers it for you. And if it doesn't, stay on line. We're coming upon a break. And if you're not there on the other side of the break, I understand. But stay on line. I want to send you a little book called Time to Grow and to say Merry Christmas. Again, that number, 8888, ASK CSN, and we'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion. But the reality is, there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and copayments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call too. Call now. 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel, Festus, Missouri, just south of St. Louis. And we're going to go back to the phones again. 8888, ASK CSN is the number to call. Randy, excuse me, Phil on the line in Hawaii. Aloha. Hello, Phil. Are you there?
Yes, this is Phil in Kau, Hawaii.
Well, hi and welcome. Glad you're calling.
I was surprised I got on so quick here. I was also born in Whittier and spent time in the Tongan Islands.
Oh, wow. We have that in common.
Yes. So anyway, my thought here is Luke 1, verse 26 says that Gabriel came to Mary on the sixth month. And I don't have a Jewish calendar, but the beginning of the year, can you still hear me?
Yes, and the sixth month, just to let you know, was right before Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. And so it was in the fall, and it symbolized a new beginning. Many people believe Jesus was born on the first of Elul. Now, again, I don't know for sure. We don't know. And you know, it may very well be God set it up that way so we wouldn't worship a particular day. But there has to be a day in which we recognize the Christ, the Savior, was born. And again, as I finished with our last caller, the shepherds went out and widely made it known that the Savior had been born. I think that's all we're trying to do as well, is widely make it known that there's now a Savior that is born. And as I said right before the break, we don't need a life coach. We don't need motivational speaking. We need a Savior. Now, government might save us from a few things, could save us from an invading force, could save us maybe from starvation because of different public programs. But it'll never save us from the greed, the lust, the problems, the turmoil inside of our heart, the angst that we have that we try to drown out with drugs and alcohol. We need a Savior. And so that's what was born. But to let you know, that month was right about, what do you think, Scott, right around probably last of August?
Yes.
First of September, right around there.
Exactly. And Phil, let me explain something to you here first. So first of all, it's the month of what is called Elul, E-L-U-L. And that's the sixth month on the Hebrew calendar. And as Mike says, it does fall right before the month of Tishri, which is the month where the High Holy Days occur, which is the seventh month. And that's on the religious calendar of the Jews. But what's interesting is this, is there in Luke chapter 1 in verse 26, when it says, now in the sixth month, it's not talking about a month on the calendar. Like our sixth month is June. It's not talking about June, and it's actually not talking about the month of Elul. What it's talking about is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. If you go back to verse 24, just two verses before, it says, now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, this is Zacharias' wife, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, the Lord has dealt with me, and says that he's taken away the reproach of her reproach, because to be barren in that day and time was to believe to be cursed by God. If you were a woman during that time and you couldn't have children, people look at you as cursed. The Lord, and she says, the Lord's taken away my reproach. And then if you look at verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to Galilee to go talk to Mary, okay? So the sixth month there is not a month on the Hebrew calendar. It's actually the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And to also prove that, if you go down 10 verses to verse 36, it actually says, as Gabriel was speaking to Mary about, you know, that she was going to conceive of the Holy Spirit and bear a son who will be the Son of God, it says, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for who was called barren. So verse 36 confirms to us and explains to us what the sixth month is referring to in verse 26. It's not a month on the calendar. It's actually the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Mike?
I hope that helps.
I read all of that. And my thought was that September is the beginning of the Jewish calendar around there.
Yeah, the new year, Yom Kippur.
If you go 6 months, That's March. And if you go 9 more months, that's December.
Well, that's kind of an interesting observation, but I do believe that that is talking about the 6 month of pregnancy, and they're also verified in verse 36 as well. Because again, this was very unusual because she was well past the age of bearing children. And so a supernatural child, that we see both with Mary, Jesus's mother, as well as Elizabeth as well. And so we find these supernatural births through the Bible as well. We remember Samuel's mother the same way. So we find these supernatural, we find Abraham and Sarah the same way. So this is not something that is new and unusual and only found in the book of Luke or at the time of Jesus's birth. But we find God doing miracles all the way through the Bible. And by the way, for everybody, and I don't know what church you go to or whatever, but when people say the miracles ceased with the apostles, is not true. It's a lie. Because the miracles did not start with the apostles. They did not start in Acts chapter 2. Miracles are all the way through the Bible. And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, the same miracle-working Jesus that grew eyes out and raised people from the dead is the same miracle-working Jesus is working today through his church and through each one of you. And so just to remind you of that, because I think it's so important. Phil, I hope that helps.
Hey, I try to read the Bible every morning while I have coffee.
Well, that's wonderful. And
I've been through it many times.
Well, wonderful. That's good. Because, you know, the Bible tells us in Luke 4 that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, it's not just the ones my denomination like and those my denomination don't like. Well, we just take out our black felt marker and mark those out. No, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's wanting to show us something great, more about him than maybe we understand today. Phil Satterlein, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, real quick, Phil, if you want to get a little deeper into this, to kind of confirm what we read to you there from the Bible, if you go back earlier to the book of where Zechariah is in the temple, serving in the temple there in Luke chapter 1, it actually tells us that it tells us when he was serving. And if you go back there, what it says, now this helps us kind of figure out a little bit of when Elizabeth conceived, because, not Mary, but Elizabeth, because it actually tells us in verse 5 that in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, it says a certain priest named Zacharias, he was of the division of Abijah or Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So what's interesting, you can go back to the Old Testament and see how the divisions of the priests were split up and how they served and when they served. And what you will find out, and this helps you kind of with the timeline, what you'll find out is the division of Abijah or Abijah was actually the eighth division. And you can go back in Chronicles and look at that. And where that falls around is around June. And so Bible scholars who follow that timeline of when Zechariah would have been serving in the temple is when Elizabeth conceived, which wouldn't be the sixth month. It would actually be about 2 months before that. So in June. So you can take that then. And then if that's the case, you know, from June, 6 months later, when Elizabeth shows up, it is December. It's around what we would call Christmas time, but it's around December when Mary shows up and says, you know, and meets her and explains, you know, what's happened there. So if you love studying the Bible and you want to get into it a little deeper, get you some commentaries and go back and study Zechariah and his division of the priesthood, and that will help you kind of calculate that out as well. Now, if you do that, what you find out is that actually then puts Mary conceiving literally around Christmas time, and then giving birth to Jesus. As Mike said, giving birth to Jesus now in the month of Tishri, which is that month of the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's very interesting, because if you look at the biblical numbers, it actually gives us, it lends to us the idea that Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles
in the fall,
which would be perfect, because in John 1:14 it says that the Word of God was made flesh and tabernacled among us. So that's why a lot of Bible scholars believe Jesus was born in the fall during the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you like studying the Bible, that's a little study you can go on yourself and dig deep into that. So
yeah, this division of Abijah is interesting, because he was part of the, as you mentioned, eighth of this division, and there was 24 divisions. And so being the one of the eighth out of 24, can give us a better timeline than maybe just something else. Hope that helps, Phil. Again, stay in line. We'll send you out a little book called Time to Grow. If you need more, let us know. We're here for you. And Merry Christmas to you, okay?
Okay, Merry Christmas to both of you.
You too. God bless you, Phil. Aloha, and catch a wave for me. Oh, I miss it. So, to Randy we go. Twin Falls, hi, welcome. Randy, are you there? We're looking for Randy. I don't hear Randy. Randy, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Randy.
Yes, hi, Mike.
How can we help?
I was going to comment on the thing about, you know, they say if you're talking about abortion and all that, you're being political. Yeah. I don't believe that.
Absolutely.
Because of what the Bible says.
Yep.
But I happened to be thinking about this one teacher that I heard, and he was saying that, you know, that the Sabbath is on a Saturday, and he was saying if you work on that day, you're breaking the Sabbath, you know, God's commandments.
Yeah, it's really sad that they don't read the Bible that do this, because these groups that say, oh, we keep the Sabbath, do not keep the Sabbath according to the Bible. Very clear. We need to understand that. They get together in a building on a Saturday, but that is not keeping the Sabbath. There's all kinds of other rules that went into keeping the Sabbath, which they cleverly omit. Yeah, they do. And not to also tell you that the Sabbath was a covenant between God and the Jewish people. This is why when the Gentiles began to get saved in the book of Acts, one of the things they didn't lay on the Gentiles was the keeping of the Sabbath. In fact, they actually said, since none of our forefathers could keep the Ten Commandments, what are we going to tell them? Well, let's do the most important things up front. Abstain from meats and sacrifice to idols and things with blood, and these kinds of things. But Sabbath wasn't one of the requirements. Why? Because the Bible says that Jesus fulfilled that part of the commandment. Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbaths. Now, let me tell you, these groups that say they keep the Sabbath, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, there's a myriad of others. Oh, we keep the Sabbath. They don't. They get in the building on a Saturday, that I will grant them. And there's groups of people that get into your local hardware stores, Home Depots, and other things like that as well. But if you're going to keep the Sabbath, you got to do it God's way. The Bible says if you err in one part of the law, you err in all of it. Now, let me tell you something. When they drive to their Sabbath meeting, the Bible says clearly you cannot make anybody else work on the Sabbath. Yet they do. They violate it. So they don't keep the Sabbath. Like I say, they get in a box on a Saturday, but that's far from keeping the Sabbath. If they get in a wreck on the Sabbath, they don't lay there in the intersection with steam coming out of the radiator when they T-bone somebody. And okay, it's sundown on Saturday night. Three stars are appearing in the sky. Now, quickly call the paramedics. No, they don't. They call them immediately. And when they turn the lights on in their building, they make sure that the guy down at the power company is supplying the power to the lines. Yeah, that's true. You see, when you really start looking at it and you're comparing what the Bible says Sabbath keeping is, it ain't what they're doing. You see, they get together. That I commend them for that. I don't condemn anybody for worshiping on Saturday. Praise God. But your day of worship may be Sunday or Friday or Thursday. If you're a paramedic, if you're in the fire department, if you're a police officer, your day of rest may be Tuesday. I do believe that we all should take a day of rest. As the Bible says, 6 days you shall work, on the seventh you'll rest. I think we need to do that. I think it's good for us mentally and physically, emotionally, to set back. Now, even the world outside of Christianity has a name for this. It's called stop and smell the roses. Isn't it weird that the world sometimes recognizes that more than Christians, that, hey, we need to take a day off? But, you know, another way you can read this as well, 6 days thou shalt work and the seventh you'll rest. I know people that won't work any day of the week. They're bums. They live off of everybody else. They sit around and connive how they can mooch off of everybody. Well, you see, that's the problem, isn't it? You find people that'll work every day, you know, got to keep your old nose to the grindstone, they'll say. They never take a day off. It's unfortunately, they live their whole life and miss life. And you'll find other people that are so lazy, they won't work one day out of the week. So I think there's a quite a complicated problem on this. But the Bible says if you err in one area, you err in it all. You know, Scott, when we look at the righteous requirements of the law, and the Bible talks about you can't travel so far from your house. Tell us more.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So here's what's interesting about the Sabbath is when you go back to the law, what you see, there were three main rules to the Sabbath, just three. It was you couldn't carry a load, you couldn't carry something heavy, you couldn't kindle a fire, and you also couldn't go over what was called a Sabbath day's journey, just a very short walk. And so when you talk about those, Mike, who claim they keep the Sabbath today, well, no, they don't, because they break all those things. In fact, if you go to Israel and you take an elevator in a hotel or a public building, they actually have a Sabbath elevator because they don't want to break the Sabbath by pushing the button to ignite the electricity in, you know, taking the chance that you might be starting a fire on the Sabbath. They have Sabbath elevators where the elevator automatically on its own, without you hitting the button, stops at every floor. Now, if you don't know that when you're over there and you get on one of those elevators and you got a long way to go, it's pretty miserable because that thing's going to stop at every floor. So this is how far the Jews even today take this. But what's interesting is even in the book of Numbers, there was a situation there where a man was caught carrying sticks to make a fire on the Sabbath day, and God demanded that he be killed for that. And God was just demonstrating to the people of Israel, hey, when I give you commands, I mean it. There's reason for it. I'm holy, and you must obey me and regard me as holy. And it's interesting because by the time Jesus comes to the earth, what the ancient rabbis of Israel did is they actually took the Sabbath law, which, again, just basically had three main rules. That was it. They took that, and they turned that in to 40 volumes of books about just what you can't do on the Sabbath. And it even says things in there. You know, all these Talmudic rabbis, it actually says in there, for instance, you can't have false teeth and put them in on the Sabbath because you're carrying a load. It became ridiculous, you know, and that's why when you read about Jesus dealing with the Sabbath day, saying, hey, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, and that he's Lord of the Sabbath, and why, you know, they got mad at him, you know, for, you know, cracking the corn to feed his disciples on the Sabbath day, healing on the Sabbath day, because they had taken those three basic rules and turned them into 40 volumes of books of what you can't do. And here's the bottom line. You know, we don't need that because, you know, it was very clear in the Old Testament that the Israelites couldn't even keep those three rules of the Sabbath, let alone 40 volumes of rules now, you know. And that's why we need the grace of God. That's why we needed the cross, is because what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross is he took our sins upon himself as our sacrificial lamb. He took our sins upon himself. And what he did through his perfect life, the perfect life Jesus lived, this is so important. This is why he had to be born of a virgin, because he had to be perfect, not only from birth, but actually in birth, so that he could be our sacrifice. And so what's interesting is Jesus takes our sins upon himself. And what does he do in doing that through his perfect life and sacrificial death is he then satisfies all of God's righteous demands in the law that Paul would say in the book of Colossians that were against us. And why were they against us? Not because those laws were bad in the Old Testament, but because we're sinners and we couldn't keep it. And so that's why we need the cross. That's why we have Christmas. That's why Jesus came, was born of a virgin, led a perfect life, and then was able to offer himself as the sacrifice for all of our sins so that we don't have to be bound by the law that we can't keep, but we're free in Jesus. Oh, again, here we go. Christmas is such a beautiful, beautiful concept, the incarnation and what Jesus did for us. So, yeah, we don't want to try at all to ever gain our right standing and our righteousness with God through anything that we do, through our good works or us trying to keep the law, because we always fall short. I would rather much have a love relationship with the Lord based on his love for me rather than a legal relationship where I'm trying to get God to respond to me by my own good works. It doesn't work.
Yeah, no good thing dwells in the flesh. And so
that's exactly right.
We cannot generate our own righteousness.
Nope.
Paul says we put on his righteousness like you put on a winter coat. We cannot generate righteousness by doing righteous things. We can't do it. Oh, look, I don't eat pork. I worship on Saturday. I do this. I do that. You got an eye problem. Because our righteousness doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God. It's a gift.
Yeah.
The free gift of eternal life. And so we have to understand that this is a real issue that so many people do. Now, have I done everything right? Have I crossed the T's? Have I dotted the I's? Hey, listen, we come to Christ because he loves us. We call him Daddy. And you know what I find with my kids? They come to me on Saturday. They come to me on Sunday and all throughout the week. And that's perfectly okay. You see, it isn't just one day a week. We have Christ every day of the week. So if you worship on Saturday, oh, I'm not saying that's wrong. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. But don't condemn others because they worship on Sunday. Because truly, if you follow God's word, none of us truly worship on any day correctly. Because it's not really the day. It's the posture of the heart. And that's something we always have to remember. Randy, I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you very much. I'd assumed worship on every day, so...
Yep. It's wonderful. Hey, stay online. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. And a Merry Christmas to you. If you need us, call us. We're here for you. Let's go to Edward, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Yes. Hello. Yes. I was just listening earlier that, you know, there was some conversation concerning the conception of Jesus. And I want to point people to Haggai 2:18 and 19. Where it talks about, consider now from the day and upward, from the 20th day of the ninth month, from the day of the foundation of the Lord, is the seed yet in the barn? Because it's what's talking about the seed and how it is conceived, yea, yet the vine and the fig tree. So I think the answer to when was Mary conception was the 24th of the Hebrew month, Kislev, which is this month in Greek. So that might help some people to figure out.
Okay, yeah, the Festival of Lights. That's the Festival of Lights. That's what we talked about earlier. And I think, again, it is interesting that Jesus honored that as we study his word. Your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's really important, too. And that's a very interesting observation that you made there with the book of Haggai. And again, like I said before, if you do compare Luke chapter 1 and Zacharias's turn to serve in the temple with the schedule that they had for the priests there in Chronicles, you can, you know, look at the dates were given, the time markers were given. And again, it puts Elizabeth's conception around May or June. And then you have 6 months later, that's when Mary shows up, and that's the month that she conceived. And if that is all correct, then that puts the birth of Jesus again during the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, during that fall time, which again is just perfect. And so, yeah, I agree with that.
So Hope that helps. And again, you know, so many things there. Treasures in God's word for this time. No, take Christmas as a great time to minister to people. And again, we might disagree maybe on the day he was born, but one thing we all know from God's word, he was born. And boy, those shepherds, they made it widely known. Same thing we should do. All out of time, everyone. Stay in line. We'll send you a little book, DVD. Thanks, Scott, for being on. See you tomorrow. God bless you and good night.
About this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.